Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Wayne Show.
Tony Lane, along with Maris, as we welcome you to episode 245 of the Tony Lane Show. Of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the show live. And, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play as we are well into the dog days of summer, and people are probably out there shooting their fireworks, eating their hot dogs and ribs and hamburgers and whatever, and hopefully they don't burn their damn hands off with these firecrackers. As it is the celebration of Independence Day in the United States, sometimes commonly referred to as 4th of July. So that's this weekend, of course. July 4th is actually Tuesday, as we tape the show just a couple of days before said 4th of July. But I'm still enjoying the festive holiday weekend.
It's the festivities have been going on for a while. If you looked at the schedule for the whole state, there's some that had their fireworks display and their like town barbecues and everything like that as early as the 24th of June.
And of course, this being the wonderful state of New Jersey.
Don't even.
They do things. They got to do big in New Jersey. They say Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, but I think the hair is bigger in New Jersey.
The hair is bigger. Our governor is bigger.
Our governor is definitely bigger.
Our governor will eat other governors.
Yes. At least for now. I mean, 6 months, we're going to have a new governor.
Thank God. Can you imagine? You know what he did this weekend? Obviously, it's been all over the news now.
I heard something about some parks being closed, and then
so,
he had his family go to it, or
he,
something like that.
Yes. But, like, how much of a dick do you need to be? Like, he didn't have to close those parks down. They didn't come to an agreement on the state budget, so in the morning, Saturday morning, when you already had your campers at the state parks and people were already at the beach, they had to kick them all off and kick them all out and send them home.
Well.
Like, seriously, like, come on, man. Really?
I mean, he has done some questionable things. I mean,
we know
about that.
Oh, he has.
Bridge, the Bridgegate thing, you know, that's still very controversial, to say the least.
Yeah.
So people were found guilty of something there, right?
Yes. They were found guilty of quite a few things.
A few things, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this is New Jersey. I mean, everybody
it's
New Jersey. You know, even the prior governor, Corzine. He was a crook too. He was like embezzling
yes.
money.
He was
business. You know, you go from one crook to the next. It kind of does nothing for the stereotype that we got from like the Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire, where it seems like everybody's crooked.
For about the past year, I've just been telling, since New Jersey is one of the 9 states that allows write-ins, just write me in.
Oh.
I will kick ass. I will do the absolute best job that I possibly could, and there will be a lot of politicians in jail. And you know what? I may need to hire bodyguards because I'll probably get assassinated, but somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. And might as well be you.
Might as well be me. Vote me in. I promise I will do my absolute damnedest.
Maris has my vote for governor now. So I am going to write you in. Now, interesting couple of weeks in combat sports. This has been like the couple of weeks where there's nothing going on, but there's a lot going on. You know,
yeah.
It's been one of those really weird, you know, there's really like a lot of significant things that did happen, even though there's really nothing going on. I mean, so I guess we could start off with the controversy just this past weekend involving Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn. Very controversial decision there. Jeff Horn wins unanimous decision in his home country, in Australia, over the longtime champion and favorite in the fight, Manny Pacquiao. And a lot of people screamed foul about that. I mean, Twitter was abuzz. A lot of people saying this is bullshit. And a lot are saying, you know, they don't watch. This is why they don't watch fucking boxing anymore, because of shit like this.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the years, there have been some really controversial things that have gone on. There have been people that have thrown fights for money. And, you know, it's you do see it, and that's a shame, because you wanna believe that what's going on is legit and things like that. But, you know, sometimes the fighters have other things in mind. And then, you know, then you have judges paid off, which, again, has happened in the past, where they vote a certain way because they've gotten either gifts or favors or things like that. So it does happen.
Now, I don't know what kind of governing body they have in Australia. I would imagine, you know, somebody, there is some sort of body that would overlook these sort of combat sporting events.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
I imagine so. I mean, to think about it, they're huge in Germany and things like that. So they absolutely must have like some type of either European like commission or something like that, some type of sports group that handles that stuff.
But I guess, like, if you get fucked over in another country, it is kind of what it is. I mean,
yeah.
We've seen it before, like, even pretty close to home in Mexico, where, mm-hmm. you know, you've had American fighters go and fight a Mexican fighter in Mexico, and then the Mexican judges obviously seem to score in favor of the home state
Absolutely.
Or home countrymen. And, you know, controversy arises. So I don't think that it's a surprise, but I guess, you know, in recent years, boxing has been trying to regain an audience. I mean, they've done the premier boxing specials that they've done with the networks and ESPN, where they've gotten boxing back on free network television. ESPN's not network, but, you know, it's on NBC and CBS.
Right.
All of the actual networks. But so they made a very good effort to get boxing
yeah.
back where it's accessible to people, so the people can rediscover it, because for a while there,
it's gotten very stale.
Only on pay-per-view, right. And the only yeah. time you would see good fights were on pay-per-view, and it was like, well, who the hell is going to pay money to watch these people? And nobody knows who the hell they are. So you kind of have to give it away free so that people know who the stars are.
Here's the other problem, though. There's another big problem. Obviously, a lot of these young kids coming out of college and things like that, especially like the heavyweights and things like that, that's the money weight class. So say you have someone that's a good boxer, but they're also good in football. Well, boxing isn't making the money it used to, so you have less and less people interested in going into boxing rather than pursuing, say, NFL or NBA or marathoning or, you know, things like that. So that's an issue too.
True. And when we look at an event that's coming up later on this summer, which will probably shatter every box office record and pay-per-view record, upcoming Floyd Mayweather
Conor McGregor
fight, that looks to be a farce in its own right. Where
you've got
a guy who's never really participated in a official boxing match, regardless of how successful he's been in MMA. He's never been in an official boxing match, and he's fighting arguably the best boxer of all time.
Right.
It's absurd.
It's money.
It's going to make a lot of money.
Of course it is. Who are you kidding? It's going to make bank.
It's a sideshow attraction.
It is.
But they're turning it into a big...
Listen, are you going to buy it and watch it?
Of course not.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't ordered a boxing pay-per-view probably since the late 90s.
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't intend on starting. So, it's going to be, and that's going to be an expensive one, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But now, so Manny Pacquiao goes down in defeat. Jeff Horn wins the title, controversial fashion, and another black eye, no pun intended there, on the boxing community. But, you know, I mean, it happens.
Yes, it does.
It is what it is. Now, Bellator last week, they did their New York special. They made their New York debut.
Mm-hmm.
On pay-per-view and on Spike. And which I wonder, are they going to be on the Paramount TV network next year? Because I hear Spike is getting rebranded in early 2018 to become the Paramount network or Paramount TV or whatever the fuck it's going to be. I wonder if they're going to still play Bellator, or is that going to go away when Spike goes away?
Well, that's a good question, because they play, they got New Japan on there, too.
Well, New Japan's on Access TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting sorry. I watch so many MMAs. Yeah, I watch so many MMAs. It's not even funny.
The Bellator show, I didn't watch the pay-per-view part. I did watch some of the free part, of course, mm-hmm. the part that was on Spike. I did watch the women's fight, which was pretty good.
It was good.
She's a good fighter. And she's not bad looking either. To be an undefeated boxer, I'm like, whoa, this woman boxes. She's 20-0 in boxing. And she's like a blonde bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but she can kick some ass. And I love the Staten Island accent there.
She's got it thick.
Yeah. She's like so...
She's so New York.
Yes, very much so. But she kicked some ass there. I mean,
yeah, that was a very good fight.
That girl headbutted her, and then the second they cleaned her up, she just went to town and just. But you can see where she's used to boxing, because when she knocked the girl down, she didn't finish her. She let the girl get back up, and then she finished her. And it was kind of like, when she was down, you could have jumped on top of her, but I guess she's used to going in the corner and waiting for the AK.
Well, no, I think a lot has to do with the fact, like, if you watched the interviews with them I don't know if you caught the interviews. Both of them said, both of them have boxing backgrounds. So they were both planning on standing there and boxing. Like, that was what they wanted to do. They wanted to see who the better boxer, but, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
So that's why they stayed up and stood and punched for the majority of it, because they really wanted to box each other. So, but, hey, it was a good fight. So.
It was a very good fight. And I would say, you know, Heather Hardy, you know, the only thing is, you know, she's 35. I'm not saying 35 is old, but for combat.
MMA, it's getting very close to being old.
Right. So I'm like, if she was
25,
even if she was 30 and started in MMA, maybe she could be very marketable.
Yes.
Very marketable. But the only concern I have is the fact that she is 35 now. You know, the clock is ticking in terms of how much longer she's going to be able to keep going out there and doing her thing, you know?
Yes.
So, but I wonder why Dana White didn't try and pick her up.
I have no idea.
Not like pick her
no,
up.
No, yes, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, even he might try and pick her up too. I mean, she is an attractive woman. I mean, but I digress. But as you said, New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV made their much-hyped United States debut this past weekend as well.
They did.
First time ever New Japan Pro Wrestling live in the United States and live on United States television. Good old JR doing the play-by-play along with Josh Barnett, former UFC champion, and they called the action just like they do on the Access TV show each and every week. But, you know, it was live this time.
Yeah.
And rather than them being in a studio just doing voiceovers like they normally do, they were actually there live in the arena, and that was cool. Very, very good card. I mean, and it's cool that they have been playing the show for the past few years, because, you know, now you know the characters.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that WWE did a big talent raid last year when they stole several of their top guys, like
Bullet Club, Nakamura,
Ken Anderson and Luke Gallows, and all the people that they literally stole.
Literally.
But that being said, still, like, I mean, you know, you had a lot of the ROH guys because they continue to have that working relationship with ROH. And very good show, as they will crown their first ever IWGP United States Champion. Part two of the tournament is actually going on tonight as we speak. It will air on Access TV in the United States this upcoming Friday. So, because it hasn't aired in the United States yet, I don't think we should spoil it.
Yeah.
I think we should wait until it airs in the United States. But we can discuss Night 1, which did air live last week, and or last night, I should say. And it a good show. I mean, headlined by the IWGP Championship match, as it was champion versus champion, but only the IWGP championship was on the line, as you had Kazuchika Okada, the reigning and defending IWGP champion, taking on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Well, now I guess he's just Cody.
Right.
And he is the current reigning ROH champion, having won that title, beating the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels last week at the Best in the World pay-per-view. So, that was a good fight, a very good match. Ultimately, Okada retained the title. Earlier in the night, you had the first round matches for the IWGP United States Championship Tournament, where you had Ishii, defeat NATO. You had Zack Sabre Jr. defeat Juice Robinson, and Jay Lethal defeated Hangman Page. And then one of the better matches of the night. I mean, these guys were like killing each other. I love watching Omega and Michael Elgin wrestle. Like they're both Kenny Omega's now. I think he's the leader of the Bullet Club. Like, I guess there's a power struggle between Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes now. So who's the actual leader of the Bullet Club?
Yeah.
But Kenny Omega defeated Michael Elgin in an amazing match. I mean, the fucking bumps that these fucking guys took was insane. I was like, I don't know if you saw the match with Omega and Okada, where they went a 60-minute time limit draw?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was amazing. It was like Steamboat Flair or something, like an hour of guys, like, tearing the house down. Like, and just, like, wrestling.
Yeah, I don't always get to watch New Japan. I try to, but sometimes MMA doesn't exactly line up, and, like, that's why... I thought of New Japan before, because I also watch all like the Access fights, the Lion fights, the Victory, like all that stuff.
It's something. I mean,
it is great. Any show I've seen has been absolutely fantastic. They put on a hell of a show, but those guys, again, they're there to work and they're skilled. It's not all that like pomp and freaking parade and shit.
It's right. It's more heavy on the sports side and not so much on the entertainment side. I mean, they got some entertaining characters, too.
They do. Yeah, I mean, it's pro wrestling. You got to have your entertaining characters, you know, your gimmicks and things like that. But all in all, it's a good product.
Right, and once that bell rings, it's all about the wrestling. The in-ring product takes center stage. And when you see two guys like Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada go at it for an hour, and not really need the props and all of the bullshit that we're used to in modern day professional wrestling. It's good to see two guys be able to just wrestle and beat the shit out of each other for an hour. And you don't really need to resort to all of those cheap things on the outside, really. Just let the two guys go at it. And that, not very many people can do that,
right?
And make it entertaining. These guys did a hell of a job, and so that was a good show last night. So hopefully this is the start of something big. I know WWE, they probably were watching very intently and probably like, whoa, we better watch out for these motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's the truth.
If they start to really make a push to try and really start booking shows in the United States, like on a regular basis, it could be something for WWE to be concerned about. That's all.
That's true. And then you're going to try to get on that, or raid their talent again.
Which they probably would. And what's crazy is, in your main event last night, you had Okada defending against Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was their guy. You know, he left because they wouldn't push him and they wanted him to stay Stardust in that ridiculous gimmick. And, you know, he bet on himself and hightailed it out of there and went on to bigger and better things. And now he has won his first world championship. And Rhodes has not been a world champion since the 80s, like 30 years. You know, it's been like 31 years since the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, beat Ric Flair to become a world champion. And then now, finally, unfortunately, Dustin Goldust never became a world champion, but now Cody.
Yeah.
Has in fact ended that 30-plus year dry spell for the Rhodes family, and he is now the ROH World Heavyweight Champion. So maybe now WWE is going to come running back. Who knows?
We'll see.
I mean, we've seen that happen before. Like, even with, like, someone like Drew McIntyre, where they let him go, and he went out, did his thing on the indies and internationally, and they came back and wanted him, and now they re-signed him. He's in NXT now, and most likely he's going to be the one, I think, that they're going to really push to beat Bobby Roode, in my opinion, even though Roode is scheduled to defend against Roderick Strong in a couple of weeks. But I think it's going to be probably McIntyre is going to probably be the one to beat, in my opinion.
Probably.
But, I mean, he bet on himself, and then, you know, soon WWE comes running back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you see the American Nightmare Cody pop back up in WWE at some point. I don't know if he will anytime soon, because he seems to be enjoying the freedom that he has on the indie scene. I mean, I heard an interview with him recently, and they're saying that's one of the main things that they really like about being on the indie and non-WWE scene, is you really have more freedom to develop your own character and, you know, your own promo and all this stuff, whereas WWE, everything is very heavily scripted, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can not really deviate much. And I mean, they wonder why it's hard for any of these fucking guys to get over, because,
yeah,
you know, they're not being themselves.
I can't blame him for sticking to the indies. I mean, the pressure that they have on them to act a certain way, to be a certain way, remember certain lines, catchphrases, you know, stuff like that. It's like the freedom is so much more fun. Like, that's what you become a pro wrestler to do.
That's true. And Cody, he's doing his thing. So hats off to him. Congratulations also in order for him winning the ROH championship from Christopher Daniels last week. And, you know, maybe WWE will come running back. Who knows?
It's possible.
Now, there is a pay-per-view going on this weekend as well. You see, like I said, this is like the most eventful, uneventful week ever.
Yeah.
Global Force Wrestling and Impact Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
formerly known as TNA, they have the Slammiversary 15 pay-per-view, which is live
tonight,
going on as we speak. And apparently, from what I understand, the brands have merged. Jeff Jarrett has sold the Global Force brand to Anthem, which is now the parent company of Impact Wrestling, and the idea is to merge both brands and make it's going to now all be Global Force Wrestling, basically.
Mm.
But the TV show that they produced every week on Pop TV is going to keep the Impact name, so it's going to be Global Force Wrestling Impact, or GFW Impact, if that makes sense.
mean, yeah.
It's so confusing because they've been changing the name and rebranding and trying to come up with a new identity for quite some time because of the perceived damage to the TNA brand. You know, I mean, TNA produced a lot of really good stars.
Yes, so they did.
I mean, when you look at a lot of these top guys in WWE, from AJ Styles to Samoa Joe to Bobby Roode, they all really spent well over a decade in TNA. Even Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm. You
know, Kurt Angle was actually in TNA longer than he was in WWE, actually. But despite having all the talent they had, they certainly had reputation for really just fucking everything up. Broiled.
That's true.
And as a result, they have been, you know, kind of trying to rebrand. And this is that first step in the rebrand. The Global Force brand, Jeff Jarrett created that as well in hopes of landing a TV deal. We know they had shot a pilot and shot several episodes. They crowned champions and then you never heard anything. It was kind of like, what happened? And now we see what the fate of Global Force Wrestling is and the fate of Impact. And now at the Slammiversary pay-per-view, you have a lot of unification matches, basically them unifying all of the Global Force and Impact Wrestling belts into the new, I guess they're going to be GWF belts.
I guess so.
The tag team belts have already been unified as LAX won that unification bout. But still have two more unification matches for the women's championship. The GWF women's champion, Sienna, and the Impact Knockouts champion, which is Rosemary. Well, actually, it looks like that's over. So Sienna beat her.
Mm.
So Sienna is the brand new undisputed women's champion. So she won both belts now. And the main event, Alberto El Patron, who is the current GWF champion, taking on Lashley, the Impact Wrestling champion. The winner, I guess, would be the undisputed whatever. I guess it's going to be the global champion, I would imagine.
Most likely, yeah.
We shall see. So, Slammiversary 15, Allie, formerly known as Cherry Bomb, she was on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband, Braxton Sutter, her real-life husband. He's not her husband on the show, but he's her real-life husband.
Right.
And they won, so mixed six-person tag match on the pre-show. So, looks like it was an interesting card. Slammiversary 15. One of the few pay-per-views now that TNA actually produces per year. You know, they got away from that monthly pay-per-view model a while ago, and now they kind of do, I think, only two. And I would imagine the buy rate's not high.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, pay-per-views can be expensive. I think WWE,
they can.
They got it right with the kind of the subscription network thing.
Oh, I wish other companies would do that too. That's a great deal. Like other sports things, like UFC Fight Pass. I have to pay for it monthly, and I have to pay for the pay-per-views, the full price anyway. So, like, why can't you throw it in for the subscription fee? You're more expensive than the WWE channel. It's like, what's the deal?
Right. And at the very least, give you a discount or, you know, I don't know, what's the Fight Pass?
It's like $13.
$13. So maybe to include the pay-per-views, you pay an extra 10 or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, something like that would be fair.
Yes, I can agree to that.
But to expect you to pay another $65, whatever the fuck the pay-per-views cost now, that's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
But I guess they got to make up that $4 billion or whatever that they...
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if their pay-per-view prices go up. But the problem is, one of their main cash cows, she's probably not going to fight anymore.
Probably not.
And their other one, if he gets embarrassed by Floyd Mayweather, which he probably will,
I hope
he'll have the box office appeal.
I hope he does. I am rooting 100% for Mayweather. And if
and
you're,
you hate Mayweather.
I hate Mayweather. And if you don't believe me, please go back and listen to all the many, many shows where I speak and am very loquacious about my hate for Mayweather. But I want him to beat the shit out of Conor McGregor.
Now, that's true hate for McGregor.
I mean, listen, he wants to think he's the shit and he can do whatever he wants. I'm sorry. You're going into a sport where you don't know what you're doing. And Mayweather is like the most impeccable person alive at it right now.
Well, they say the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's true.
And I guess, you know, the lesser of two evils in,
yes.
In this. So we shall see what will happen as it relates to that McGregor and Mayweather pay-per-view, which I'm wondering if that's going to take some thunder away from the WWE SummerSlam, because that event is 6 days after SummerSlam.
That's a possibility. I didn't think about that. That
I
is
mean,
very close.
I don't think network subscribers are going to worry about it. But for those couple of 100,000 fools who still decide to pay
full price for the pay-per-view, $65
for a pay-per-view that they get for 10, they might have a choice to make. They might have to say, oh, well, should I, you know, spend this $500 ordering this bullshit ass fight, or however much it's going to cost. I don't know. I'm just pulling a number out of my ass. Or should I order SummerSlam? You know, and some of them might go with the big crazy fight.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling the pay-per-view is probably going to be close to $100 because the Mayweather Pacquiao one was $100.
Right. So I would imagine it's probably going to be $100 or more.
Yeah, it could be more, too. I don't expect anything less than 100.
Right. And 6 days before SummerSlam, if...
And that's like, if you're paying full price, that's like another $60.
Exactly. Even though you can get it for $10.
Yep.
Or free! Because if you're a brand new subscriber, they always give you the first 30 days free. But... they could still spend $55, $65, whatever the hell it costs.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose. I mean, you know, I guess some people like paying more for the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. In any event, should be interesting. In WWE land, finally... the video game, WWE 2K18, Seth Rollins has been announced as the WWE 2K18 cover star. And this has been one thing that we have kind of criticized since 2K took over the brand, is the fact that they have not, until now, really trusted any of the new generation of stars. Like, all of the cover stars have either been from the prior generations or somebody that was very safe to put on the cover.
Yeah.
You know, since they took over the license with 2K14, where they put The Rock on the cover, and 2K15, you had John Cena. 16, you had Steve Austin. 17, you had Brock Lesnar. All very safe choices of people who are big mainstream crossover stars. And, you know, Rock and Austin don't really even wrestle anymore. I mean, Austin hasn't wrestled since 2001, yet he was on the cover of the 2K16 game, which, true, one of the greatest of all time, and he deserves to be on the cover of the game, but when you really look at it, that just showed how little trust they had in the current crop of stars, because none of them were entrusted with being big enough to put on the cover of the game, and that was kind of fun. And Seth Rollins said something about it. And 2K apparently listened. And Seth Rollins is now on the cover. And They apologize. They said, no, you're right. We shouldn't have. We should have looked at this generation and put some of you guys on the cover.
About damn time.
Yeah. So Rollins is the cover star. Not much more really was released so far in terms of information. We do know that the pre-order bonus is WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's the deluxe edition. There is a yet-to-be-announced collector's edition, which I think I want the collector's edition again, but they haven't really said what's in it. And they haven't really told you much yet. But game comes out in October, so
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll tell us some things, some stuff between now and October. We should find out some stuff pretty soon, to be honest.
Let's just see here real quick. Let's see if anybody's leaked anything.
I know.
Nope. Damn.
One thing that's good, though, is this will be the first 2K wrestling game that is only going to be available on the current generation of systems. So it will only be
right.
available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and later on PC. And that's good. The reason why that's good is because they, for the past several years, have been putting out those last generation versions of the game, and a lot of people feel that that's been holding the series back because they had to keep programming to, you know, make a game that would also be friendly for 10-year-old systems. They haven't been able to use the full potential of the current generation systems because they were too busy trying to make something that was multi-platform all across the board.
Right.
Now that they've dropped those previous generation consoles and they can concentrate strictly on the current gen, we're expecting some good things, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We shall see. Even though I didn't really have a problem with 2K17, I thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that, or 2K16 either.
Yeah, they were both very fun, good. I mean, 15 was bad, but that was because it was
they were
the
just,
first
yeah,
game
they,
on the next-gen console.
So you kind of got to expect it to have bugs and not be, you know, up to par.
Right. But this one, there's no excuses this time. Like, all
no.
of the things that were holding it back are gone. So it's kind of like, all right. I mean, they're saying this is going to be the biggest roster of all time. Like, when they did the announcement, Seth Rollins actually was on SportsCenter. And I actually watched it that day because they put on Twitter that Rollins is going to be on SportsCenter at, I think it was like 10:30 in the morning. So I just watched to see what he had to say. And most of us knew it was going to be that he was going to something about the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. I'm on the cover and blah, blah, blah. But he also said that this should be the biggest roster in the game's history.
Good.
Last year was pretty damn big. If you got all the DLC.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was probably, what, like 160, 170 guys if you got all the DLC?
I believe so.
It was a lot. And then you can create 100 people.
Yeah, I mean, which is just ridiculous.
So I think this year's roster is going to probably be close to 200 in-game once you count all the DLC and all that.
And you know there's going to be a lot of DLC.
Oh, yeah. And if they hold true to what they've been doing, you probably are going to have a Hall of Fame DLC pack, which my boys should be in it. First
yeah,
time ever.
They should.
Rockwell Express should be in it since they are 2017 Hall of Famers. And they have never been in a WWE game before.
You're correct. They have not.
Yeah. They were in that one game, that Legends of Wrestling game that Acclaim put out, or I think it was Acclaim. But the game was crappy as hell, though.
It was.
But that's the only official game that they were in, so it would be cool if they are. Even if they're DLC, it'll be cool if they're in 2K18. So that's awesome. Glad that we finally got some information on WWE 2K18. Now,
and usually there's a lot more information out by this time, so they've been keeping it pretty tight-lipped.
They have.
Like, usually you know a lot more. Like, we'll at least know 10 people on the roster at this point with how close it is. And we really don't know much at all.
I mean, some people have dissected the trailer, the first teaser trailer that they released, where Seth Rollins goes into the warehouse and kind of destroys a bunch of artifacts on like WWE props and things like that.
Yeah.
And based off of the stuff that he destroys, most people are assuming that those people are in the game. You know.
I can understand thinking that, but there's also a possibility that they're not.
There is, but I mean, I don't think they would put in the commercial a...
All those things and then
right,
not
like
have
Ric Flair
them.
Robe and Ric Flair not be in the game, which
yeah.
was the Ric Flair robe that he set on fire, so most people are like, Ric Flair's probably in the game.
Most
and,
likely.
And some of them actually figured out that Kurt Angle, which has been officially announced, Kurt Angle is the pre-order bonus, but before they did, they saw when he was destroying the thing that Kurt Angle's boots were in the museum or warehouse, whatever the hell it was. And they were like, Kurt Angle's definitely in the game. And sure enough, Kurt Angle's in the game. So that gave some hints, but even that, I think it was only 20 some odd guys. So you still got a whole hell of a lot of people.
A lot.
So a lot of information still to be released. From what I understand, next Monday, the official trailer announcing Kurt Angle as the pre-order bonus will be released next week on Monday Night Raw, which will be the Monday Night Raw after Great Balls of Fire, which is actually 1 week from today.
Yep.
The next WWE pay-per-view, Great Balls of Fire. The Raw brand heads to Dallas, Texas. But despite such a simple name for a wrestling pay-per-view, it's actually a pretty good card so far.
Yes, it has been.
The Universal Championship will be defended. Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in the ambulance match. That match, of course, was originally scheduled for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, but since Strowman needed the injury and had to get that minor surgery, it was delayed. It's taking place now at Great Balls of Fire. Cruiserweight Championship match, Akira Tozawa will challenge Neville. You got Bray Wyatt taking on Seth Rollins. And the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks, as Sasha won the Women's Gauntlet match last week, outlasting Nia Jax in the game, as Nia Jax pretty much beat everybody else.
Right.
But it really shows you where Bayley is now on the hierarchy of the women. I mean, my, how she has fallen.
Yeah, that's crazy. But didn't we say that was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was going to be like that. I mean, she was literally in that gauntlet match. She was the first one. So she drew number one. And she was the first one eliminated. And it was like, this was a woman that 2 years ago was in the match of the year with Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And NXT. And now you got her losing in a couple of minutes on Raw, like in this gauntlet match. Like, she's the first one eliminated. She's. And my girl, Emma, didn't fare much better. Even though Emma went in much later in the match, but Emma, she was like eliminated in like 2 minutes. I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
That's a common question that we find ourselves asking often.
But one good thing, despite the fuck up, I mean, and I am intrigued by the Sasha Banks Alexa Bliss match. I think that should be a good match.
Yeah.
One thing that is WWE does have to be commended for is last week was a historic week in WWE television as far as the women were concerned. But the first time ever, the women main evented all three WWE major TV shows.
It's about damn time.
The main event of Raw was that women's gauntlet match won by Sasha. Main event of SmackDown was the Money in the Bank rematch, which Carmella won again, so she's still the Money in the Bank winner. And the main event of NXT was Asuka versus Nikki Cross for the NXT Women's Championship in the Last Woman Standing match. So all three, the main event was a women's match. So, I mean, say what you will, but they have made some progress there. You would have never seen that 10 years ago. You wouldn't have seen that 5 years ago.
Right.
Where all of their shows were main evented by women matches.
Yeah, no, that would not have happened.
And that's one thing I can say about Vern Gagne. And as much as people, you know, say Vern Gagne was out of touch and you know, how the AWA went out of business in the 80s. And, yeah, it did, and he was. But I remember specifically back in the 80s watching the AWA show when they were on ESPN, and they had several women main event matches back then in the 80s.
Yes, they did.
Like, in day when WWE wouldn't even think about having the women in the main event, he had matches with Medusa Michelli and Sharon Martel, and a lot of times where the women would be the last match of the show. It was the main event on the AWA show on ESPN. And that was back in the 80s. So you got to give Vern Gagne some credit that at least he was booking the women strong even back then.
Mm.
Something that Vinnie Mac took, what, another 30 years before he...
Yeah, 30, 40 years.
Right.
About damn time.
Exactly. Speaking of women's wrestling, have you watched Glow, the Netflix
show? I have not had time to sit and binge watch it yet.
It's an easy watch because they're only a half hour, so I actually finished it in 2 days.
Oh, really? I didn't know that the episodes were that short. I'm excited to watch it. I kind of know the premise of it, where how they're doing this kind of one of it. So
yeah.
We'll see. I haven't heard anything bad about it, though.
Oh, no, it's gotten rave reviews so far. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. You know, me being a fan of the original Glow show as a kid, and, you know, for young boy watching Glow, that was like the greatest show on television.
Oh, hell yeah, it was.
Slanty clad outfits, and it was like, it might as well have been porn for us. I mean, you know, it was like, whoa, this is awesome.
It was good, though.
It was. I mean, as cheesy and as silly as it was, you know, when we look back on it, you can kind of really see how silly it really was. But I don't think being a 10, 11-year-old boy watching that shit that I was really thinking about how good or bad they wrestled. I was just like, wow, look at what these skimpy outfits they're wearing. Like, it was...
Well, I mean, it was still like the way it was presented and everything, though, it was as outrageous as pro wrestling had become. So it kind of fit in at the time.
It was. And it was very outrageous.
Oh, it was the craziness. It was so good, though.
And I mean, this show is, I guess, loosely based off of like the behind the scenes of how they created the show in real life. And, you know, I think it did a good job. I found it very entertaining. I mean, for me to binge through it and get through it that quick, there's other shows that are
higher on,
you know,
your list.
Half hour shows like that I could have easily invested the time and binge through. And I just don't go through them as quickly as I did Glow. But I was really enjoying it and just kept going one after another. I was just like, you know, hell, I'll watch another and another. Like, it was really that good. So I really do recommend it.
Oh, good.
So,
maybe I'll have to watch it tonight.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. What I am also very, very, very pleased with is the Transformers bombed in the box office.
Did it really? I heard my now I was talking with family yesterday, and they went to go see it, or they had gone and seen it when it first came out, and they said it was awesome.
For the last 10 years, Michael Bay has been fucking up these damn movies. I mean, but the saving grace and the reason why Viacom kept paying him to produce these or direct these movies is because they kept making money.
Boatloads of it.
The first four movies made close to $1 billion apiece. I mean, I think their combined total was something like $3.8 billion for the first four movies.
That's crazy.
So they were huge. But aside from the first one, the other ones were barely watchable. I mean, they were so silly. The plots made no sense. They had those stupid, drawn-out fights that you didn't even know what the fuck was going on. A lot of times you forgot what the fuck they were fighting on.
Yeah, that's true. But there's explosions.
A lot of explosions. And hot girls like Pagan Fox,
yes,
and then Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. And then the last one, they got rid of Shia and replaced him with Marky Mark. And then, I mean, the dialogue was just ridiculous. Now, you watch the original Transformers like I do.
Yes.
Never, ever on the show did they refer to themselves as Transformers.
No.
Never. I watched the show for years. I mean, they were like Cybertronian beings or Autobots or Decepticons or whatever, but they never called themselves Transformers.
Never, ever, ever.
That last movie, I mean, it was right in the trailer. Marky Mark is working on the car, and he says, "I think I found a Transformer." Like, how stupid is this fucking dialogue?
Yeah. Eh.
I mean, it was just insane. So I am so glad. I did not want him to direct the movie. I wanted it to actually be good. You know how much I love the animated movie from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we never got that level of quality with any of the live-action movies.
No.
And, they just kept letting him do it because regardless to how bad these movies have been panned, and it seems like this one only got 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm.
But they would just keep letting him do it over and over and over again until finally, now, and I think this was going to be his last one anyway.
Yeah, it was.
But much
just sealed the deal, though.
This definitely put the nail in the coffin, as this one did absolutely terrible. Where it's been released now, this is its second weekend, and it opened up, you know, on a Wednesday. So just remember those last few Transformers movies. They opened up on a Wednesday, and then they would go through the weekend. They were well over $100 million already.
Yes.
This was a movie that was damn near in its second week of release and had not hit $100 million domestically yet.
Wow.
It literally just hit $100 million this weekend, where it's at $102 million now.
Wow.
And I could not have been more happier. I was like, it's about time this fucking movie is bombing like it should have. And it did very well overseas because they don't care about a good story as long as it's, you know, cars that turn into robots and
yeah,
it's a lot of explosions. So overseas, it's done an impressive $327 million. But $102 million. and
paltry.
In 2 weeks. And this is with a like $250 million budget.
Yeah.
So,
that's bad.
Yeah. This movie bombed big time. And
can't say that I'm sorry.
No, I'm actually very, very pleased. And I'm also very, very pleased that Wonder Woman is doing just the opposite. It's performing very well. And this was the movie that we were very concerned, whether the action movie with the female lead. But Wonder Woman is the queen of all female comic book heroes. And if anybody could do it, it's Wonder Woman. And, I mean, I did see Wonder Woman. It's fantastic.
Good.
It's that big, epic movie, kind of like the Richard Donner Superman movie.
Okay.
It gives you that feel. It is awesome. It's a hopeful movie. It's not all dark and stupid like Zack Snyder made Batman vs. Superman. And I am very pleased because now, even though Batman vs. Superman opened up with a monster $166 million and Suicide Squad opened with $133 million and even Man of Steel opened with $116 million. And then when you looked at Wonder Woman, only opened with $103 million. Although that was very impressive and it was the biggest opening ever for a female director, it still was behind the male counterparts.
Right.
But Wonder Woman had legs. And
she
does.
I'm
not talking about Gal Gadot's gams. But she had some legs. This movie kept making money because it's good. It's one thing when you got a fucking sucky-ass movie that loses most of its audience when people realize that this movie's shit like they did with Batman vs. Superman. But Wonder Woman, it's a good movie. Word of mouth. People said, oh, it's good. More people want to go see it. Some people want to go see it again. And it didn't drop like the other movies did. So it was more of a slow burn. But now I am proud to announce that as we speak, Wonder Woman has officially surpassed all of those DC Comics Extended Universe films.
Wow.
It's now the number one DC movie, beating Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, and Man of Steel in total box office receipts. And it's still going.
Good.
And it's now the number three DC movie of all time, behind only the excellent Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. So it's number three, and it's a very good company with those two movies. So I'm very glad.
Good. Good, good, good.
So it's actually a bona fide hit. And, you know, hopefully now with Joss Whedon in working on Justice League, they can continue the trend, and hopefully Justice League is a good move. You know,
we'll see.
We can't have any more stinkers. I mean, it was embarrassing being a DC fan and having that shit come out last year. It was embarrassing.
You're tucking really your head like an ostrich.
It really was. I was like, you know, Marvel got this shit together. We looked like fools, us DC people, after that. But, you know.
Well, it happens. Listen, Marvel hasn't always done a great job.
Well, this is true.
I mean, to just look at Ghost Rider and the original Captain America. And many, many other ones.
Yeah, but once they started doing those big budget things,
once they got it right, they got it right.
They got it right. I mean,
yeah.
I guess you could say starting from Blade and Spider-Man and X-Men and all that, they were all good movies.
Yes, Blade really kicked it off for them. I think they got the formula down on what to do and how to execute it.
And I'm looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming, which opens up this week.
I still don't know how I feel about it.
I'm hearing good things so far. Did you like him in Civil War?
I didn't watch Civil War.
Oh, Civil War. You got to see Civil War. Civil War.
See, the problem is my better half is not fully caught up. Like, we have a lot of catching up to do. So, like, we got to sit. Like, he still needs to see Guardian of the Galaxy 1. Like,
I didn't like that.
See, I didn't mind it. I saw that one, but, like, obviously there's all sorts of tie-ins. He didn't see the second Avenger. So, like, we have to sit and watch a bunch of movies in order to get. So we've got a good, like, 10 hours of viewing to catch up on.
Once, Civil War was the movie Batman versus Superman should have been.
Mm.
Like, they actually got it right. Where the heroes fighting each other, they got it right.
I heard great things about it. I mean, I can't wait to see it. I've wanted to see it for a while, but you know, I haven't watched Batman vs. Superman yet, and I'm still kind of, you know, tossing the thought around because I heard it was terrible. But I really am a fan of DC stuff too. Like, I am a fan of Batman and Superman, so it's really hard to not watch the movie just for the fact that it's Batman and Superman, just to see it.
Right. I mean, that's how I felt. You know, I love these characters, and then I was greatly disappointed and was like pulling my head down, like in shame. You know, after, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, where I was proud and, you know, pumping my chest out, like, that's Batman. You see, that's how you do it. And then after seeing that shit, it was like, it was embarrassing. But Wonder Woman, very, very good. Once again, you can kind of leave with your head held high and like, this is a good damn movie. Very good. Wonder Woman, I would say it's actually a great movie. It's that good. It's really, really good.
Good.
So I would highly recommend that. But to go back to my Marvel point real quick, I think that Tom Hardy, who made his debut in the Civil War movie, is a lot more likable than Andrew Garfield was in that Amazing Spider-Man series, who I did not like him at all. And
I didn't like him, and I didn't like those films either. Although I will say the video games for them were great.
But the Raimi movies I liked. With Tobey Maguire, I did like them.
I didn't like the third one. The second one was probably the best.
Oh, the second one was awesome.
But by far, like, they all killed every single one of their roles. Like, they really did a great job. And, like, don't get me wrong, William Dafoe was great in the first one. Like, he played that character to a T. Like, he got the character of Green Goblin right. But the second one, they really, like, blew it out of the park with that one.
Oh, yeah. That one was awesome. And I think that Michael Keaton's the villain in this one as Vulture.
Yes, he is.
And
He did that movie, what was it, Birdman?
Yes.
A few years ago, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it, but I've heard rave reviews about it. So
they won an Oscar.
It's like, and I kind of want to watch it before I see Spider-Man because they said, like, you'll see how perfect he was for this for this role by watching that movie.
That I haven't seen. I know it did win I think it won Best Picture that year.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
But, so we got Spider-Man Homecoming, which I am looking forward to. I think that's going to be big. I think Despicable Me 3.
I want to see that.
Box office.
I saw Despicable. Have you ever seen the Despicable Me's?
I think I saw one of them. It was a movie that was kind of like it, right?
I saw the first one. I think originally they wanted it to be a standalone because the first one was very good. I was happy at the end of it. I didn't expect a sequel or anything. And then they came out with Despicable Me 2 and now Despicable Me 3. But, like, I really enjoyed Despicable Me, and I haven't watched number two yet, and now they're coming out with a three. And if two and three are as good as the first one, then I'm sure they're great movies.
And they had the Minions.
Yes, the Minions were hilarious in the first one.
The side, or I guess it's spinoff movie.
Yeah, spinoff movie or series or whatever. You know, they have video games for them and things like that, too.
So, that's actually number one at the box office this week. But looking at the reviews, Spider-Man Homecoming at 92% positive reviews. Just like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's also at 92%. So that's good. She got some good comic book popcorn movies coming out, where Transformers, 15%, sucks ass. And that serves them right, that it's bombing the box office.
Your dream came true.
If only it happened two movies ago.
That's true.
Yeah. They wouldn't have given this ass a license to keep making terrible movie after terrible movie.
But you know what? At least it happened.
Yeah.
And that's really all that matters.
I'm surprised. I actually have some new faith in the American people now. I just thought they were all mindless trolls that would just go see anything just because there's explosions in the movie. They proved me wrong.
There you go.
So, there we go. It is now official. I don't know if that's John Carter level, but it's pretty bad.
Ooh, John Carter bombed big time.
I mean, you consider that it had a $250 million budget. I mean, they made their money back.
Well, they did, but...
thanks to the international stuff.
Yes.
But, I mean, in some movies we've seen, like World of Warcraft did great overseas and did terrible in the United States.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so we are seeing that international market... play a bigger role now.
I still haven't seen World of Warcraft. I'm too afraid to. It's. I just heard such terrible things about it. I'm like, I can't see some of... like, I'm obviously a fan of the lore and I've read all the books. Like, I can't see, like, characters that I'm a fan of be desecrated like that.
Right.
It's like, so I can't watch it.
It's going to be shameful, kind of like the... the way I felt when I left Batman vs. Superman.
Yes, yes. Maybe I shouldn't watch it then.
But at least you don't have to see it in a theater. You can actually,
true.
You can probably get it digitally on some Apple or Google or
Amazon.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Or you can, you should be able to purchase it off digitally somewhere.
Yeah, you can probably rent it.
That's true.
I think it's even worth a purchase.
Yeah.
May not be. May even be on Netflix or something. Who knows?
Wait till it goes on YouTube.
Right.
That's terrible. I shouldn't say that.
Movie like that, I don't know if I would watch it either. See, but I would be able to go in with a more clearer mind than you because I'm not familiar with the characters. I never played the games, never read books or anything like that. So... it would be totally new to me. So whatever the hell they present to me, I would take it as canon, I would imagine.
True.
Whereas you would probably cry foul, like, right off the bat.
Oh.
Something crazy.
Oh, absolutely. I cry foul at everything.
Right. Whereas I wouldn't know the difference. I would just
exactly.
You know. Kind of like when Joel Schumacher... made Batgirl Alfred's niece instead of Commissioner Gordon's daughter on Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And how I was just like, what? Like, it was like sacrilegious. I was ready to throw some shit at the fucking screen. Like, what? What do you mean it's Alfred's niece? Like, you know. So.
Amen to that.
Glad there's some good things going on in the box office for a change. And
go out and see Wonder Woman.
Yes, yes, and it's still doing good. I mean, you know, a month after its release, and it's still, you know, having double-digit weekends.
That's good.
You know, like I said, this movie had legs. It just kept on. It didn't have that big, I mean, it was an impressive opening, but like I said, by comparison, it was much lower than the other ones, but it slowly but surely took away that lead, and it's now the number three highest grossing DC movie of all time. So
good.
I don't think it'll beat Dark Knight Rises, though.
Well, you never know. We'll see.
It definitely won't beat The Dark Knight. That,
no.
That's 500 million range, but
yeah.
Dark Knight Rises is well over 400 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be tough to even hit that, but she's done respectable. You can't argue with this. And it's
no.
This probably changed a lot of people's minds about doing movies with female leads and all. Something that we've been concerned with since
for
the day
years.
Of the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm glad it did well. So that is it for us this week. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remember to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow, the destination to hear the show live. And, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. So Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view next week for Maris, Tony Lane, and we will see you next week.
Think Out Loud, the Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.